Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Won't you come away with me?
Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And then one from my new book, The Third Ingredient, with a number three, thethirdingredient.com. That book has won 5 international awards. Very proud of it. Thank you for checking it out. Amazon's the best place, probably, and my website. Gordon Chang is our guest. You see his face and hear his brilliance on television all the time, across the different networks, talking about the geopolitics of the day, especially with regard to the United States, as we deal with China, as we deal with that whole Pacific Rim region over there. Gordon, thanks again for being here. One of the things that I think I've learned over the years in reporting on China from others and from you, in just piecing things together, and then as I've observed some of the news coming out of China, not even opinion, just reporting on China, and putting all those data points together, I'm still convinced that as long as the United States continues to hold our own best interest in front, and also willing to negotiate things that are at least as equally in favor of us, I still believe that China is a bigger threat to themselves than they are to us. What do you think?
I can understand that. I think that, well, for instance, if we take intellectual property theft, I think that essentially you're right that China is hurting itself far more than it's hurting us. That's not to say we shouldn't do anything about it. I think we certainly should. But, you know, at this particular time, you know, it does affect Chinese innovation. Chinese are very good at state-directed innovation, but they're not very good at what's really important, and that is bottom-up innovation by private entrepreneurs.
Well, what you're saying is we taught them, by stealing our stuff, they stole our fish. They didn't steal our knowledge about how to fish. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
For the most part. I mean, they're learning how to fish, but they're still stealing a lot of what they need. So, you know, this is a problem for them, of course, and it goes to the very heart of society because they believe in a state-dominated economy and a state-dominated political system, and that is killing off innovation.
So, and you and I both know that doesn't endure. That's not sustainable, is it? And in order to produce an economy that is productive and grows organically, you can't grow an economy organically. You can't have capitalism and despotism wrapped in the same bundle, can you? Isn't that what they're trying to do?
That's what they're trying to do, and I agree with you long term. It doesn't work, especially the way that they're doing it.
But you throw in, you throw in their environmental nightmare that they've got. I mean, they got a trainload of environmental nightmares waiting to happen over there, or already happening. They've got a demographic volcano over there now with on a number of different levels. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're certainly right about it. The demographic problem is something that we don't often talk about. But China's workforce has first peaked in 2011. The country is going to peak as a whole. Sometime they say, you know, like at the end of next decade, but I think probably a lot earlier, you know, their country is going to go into decline. Just to give you a sense of what this means for the United States, in 2015, when the UN did its 2015 revision, actually 2017, their last revision, China's population was 4.3 times that of the United States. By the end of this century, it's scheduled to be only like about 2.2 times larger. Mm-hmm. And that is a real indication of the decline of Chinese demography and its relative importance.
Absolutely. And that doesn't even include the issues, the dynamic issues inside of the demographics, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean,
the inherent problems of the one child left behind, that those chickens have now come home to roost, haven't they? I said that wrong. One-child policy. I didn't mean one-child left behind. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know what you meant. This clearly is creating problems like trafficking women, increased incidence of HIV, AIDS, increased incidence of prostitution. They've got social problems because of their attempt to manage their demography in extremely coercive ways. They prevented births, but they have scarred China for generations.
Well, you know, one of the great stories I love to tell is how Russia, back in the Stalin days, or maybe I can't remember which leader was, had this guy named Potemkin build these little towns next to the railroad stations that were all facades, right? The Potemkin villages, right? You know about all that. And they'd take visitors down the railroad tracks, and they'd see all these little towns that looked like they were great, but there was nothing behind them. Well, hasn't China built a bunch of Potemkin cities?
They've built what they're called the ghost cities, which are basically in response to state direction, not organic demand. And these places are expensive and they're empty. Now, eventually they will be filled, but the problem is they've got to carry the cost of these.
What kind of maintenance will they be? What kind of shape will they be in maintenance-wise by then? You know,
Some of them won't be in very good shape. You know, we've seen what happens when infrastructure is not taken care of. So, for instance, a lot of the venues for the 2008 Olympics in Beijing have now been overgrown by weeds, and that is very expensive for Beijing to keep them up. This is really the same principle as the ghost cities. You build stuff, it's really not needed, and it goes, as you say, it starts to erode very quickly.
So the answer to China, it seems to me that you're saying is, our answer is, hold the line, don't provoke them, just push back on them enough to not let them steal our stuff, and hold them honest, and then let time take care of itself. Would that be a fair way of saying it, not be excited? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think we should be excited, but I agree with you. We need to hold the line. And they will take care of themselves because their system is unsustainable.
Time will tell this tale. Quick break, right back with Gordon Chang. Stay with
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.